Good morning. Darren, thank you for singing There's Another in the Fire. Probably not who else is crying during sitting there thinking about, man, we've been in this fire for a long time. Help, King, right? And not the what we speak and what we say and what we pray and what we ask. Help, King. I just want to be honest with you guys. I'm excited to jump into Acts 16. I am pumped to jump into this. And so if you would jump into this with me, allow me to just speak what I pray so that you know, and then I pray that also you would pray a prayer that would join in with what I'm praying. And my prayer is, God, that I would get out of the way and that you would speak. And if you're a listener, I would pray that you would pray, God, get me out of the way so that I can hear. Because I think that's so important, because right now as humans, we're getting in the way. There's so many ways that we're getting in the way. We're tired, we're exhausted, we're spent, we've got more than cabin fever, we've got COVID fever. We're dealing with vaccinations, we're dealing with chills, we're dealing with body aches, we're dealing with trying to find an appointment, we're dealing with whether I should get a vaccine or not get a vaccine. There's so many things that we're dealing with that there's just a part of us that we have to step back and say, God, I'm in the fire. Where are you? Let me see you. I know you're here. I need to figure out where you're at, which means I need to get out of the way so that I can see you, I can hear you, and I can follow you. As we jump into Acts 16, the Apostle Paul has to get out of his own way. The Apostle Paul has to figure out what in the world is going on. He's just had a breakup with Barnabas, his buddy, who had come and grabbed him out of where he was at, brought him to a city in Ephesus where they taught the word of God. The word of God expanded. They were doing a prayer and fasting worship service with a multicultural group of people who never should have been together according to our world. But God goes, no, I want them together. Not only do I want them together then, I want them together in eternity. So I just showed a basic tiny party before I show you the big party. And they're praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, send out these two, send them on a missionary trip. And Paul and Barnabas go on a missionary trip, and it goes perfect. No, it doesn't go perfect, because there's an enemy named Satan. There are demonic powers and principalities that do not want it to go well for the kingdom of God. In fact, they are fighting heavily against the kingdom of God. If you don't believe me, read Colossians, read Ephesians, read Philippians, read Galatians. We have writers who tell us there's an enemy we're fighting that likes to fight in the background and likes to get us to fight each other. And Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement. They have a dispute over John Mark, a guy who goes on the trip, who thinks he's ready. I'm ready to be a missionary. I'm ready to go. And then it just becomes terrible. And he's like, I got to quit. I got to get out of here. And Barnabas wants to take him on the next journey. And Paul, right or wrong, says, I can't afford to have somebody on the trip that I can't depend on. He's not going. And that makes Barnabas angry. And Paul and Barnabas have a very heated discussion. It's called an argument. And they decide, well, you go do what you're going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Church history teaches us that Barnabas ends up going towards Asia. Church history teaches us that Philip ends up going into Africa. Church history teaches us that the Apostle Paul ends up going all the way over to Rome. And so Paul is not the only missionary that is going out spreading the gospel, but Paul becomes the focus now, and Barnabas starts to slip away. But that doesn't mean that what Barnabas is doing isn't important. It doesn't mean that what Philip is doing isn't important. It means that they're still serving God, and Luke is just not documenting it. And so we jump into Acts 16 as Paul is looking for a new crew to go on this journey with him. As I was going through Acts chapter 16, I realized, gosh, how in the world do I not teach some of this stuff? So we're going to jump around a lot. So let me give you the big view as we jump into Acts chapter 16. And Shay, if you want to put up all the verses that we're going to go through, it's going to be a lot. And it's not a lot. It's about 12 to 13 that I normally do. They're just broken up in different segments around the chapter. But we're going to deal with Timothy and Paul and Silas in verses 1 through 5. We're going to look at what happens with the new plans that Paul has to deal with in verses 6 through 10. We're going to look at this wonderful Lydia, named a woman named Lydia, who comes in verses 11 through 16, and she impacts the gospel like you can't believe. And then we deal with the Philippian jailer in verses 16 through 40. So we're going to be looking at four different stories in Acts chapter 16. But one of the things that I want you to do is, as we look at these four stories, I think there's four incredible principles that we can grab out of Acts chapter 16. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. I love playing games. You may not know this about me, but I love video games. I have loved video games since I was a tiny child. I love the Atari 2600. I love the Intellivision. I love ColecoVision. I loved Super Nintendo. I saved up $100, which was super huge for me as a tiny poor kid growing up early in the 80s. $100 was a lot of money. And I bought a used Super Nintendo from a friend, who he no longer wanted it because his parents had bought him the next console. And so I purchased this from him, and he gave me tons of games, and I loved the game. I was one of the people who played the life out of this game. This console went to college with me. Just sit there and think about that. Like, I love this thing. So from junior high all the way to college, man, I was playing video games, having a blast. Still today, I love playing video games. I have a PS5. Some of you guys don't even know what a PS5 is. I love playing video games. And let me explain to you why I love playing games. Because it doesn't matter. Most of my life, the conversations I'm in, the people I'm counseling, the stuff that I'm dealing with absolutely matters. And it takes massive amounts of focus. It takes massive amounts of intention. And people's lives, in some respects, hang in the balance. But when I'm playing a video game and things go terribly, you know what we do? We reset. There's a term we use in my clan, my video game group of people who are all around the United States, is we call it wipe. In other words, we've been trying to do something and it's not working. Everybody wipe. It means everybody go die to yourself and let's start over. I think in Christianity, we need to have that same concept. Let's wipe. Let's die to ourselves and let's start over. And so here we have Paul trying to start over. What does it look like to start over? But I think something else that's funny is as we think about games is sometimes with games, we're more accepting of rules because we'll understand that it's kind of like, oh, these are rules for the game, so it really doesn't apply to me, so it's a little bit easier for me to deal with. So what I'd like to do for fun is let's look at four rules when you're playing the game of life when it comes to God, right? Some guys get what I'm saying there. You know the board game, Life. When I was a kid growing up, we used to play a game called Red Light, Green Light. You guys know Red Light, Green Light? Red Light, Green Light was basically you didn't have anything to play with, so you just used your voice and you used a line and another place and you played Red Light, Green Light. Red Light, Green Light is a beautiful cousin to a wonderful game called Simon Says. Like, these are two buddies that love to hang together. And Red Light, Green Light and Simon Says have a lot in common. Red Light, Green Light, if you don't know what it is, or if you just want to giggle with me and remember what it is that one kid would go to one side of a room or a playground or some other distance and stand. And when that kid said green light, it was okay for you to move towards that kid. But in order to get you not to reach them, they would say yellow light, which means here comes red light, and yellow light meant slow down. And red light meant you had to stop. Now, but there was another caveat to it. The kid had to turn around. So when the kid was saying green light, they didn't know where everybody was at. They would say yellow light, and they couldn't turn around until they said red light. But once they said red light, they could spin around and look. And whoever was still moving got sent back and had to start over again. And those of you guys who were red light, green light players, you love to push yellow light, didn't you? Now let's just stop and think about it as Christians. We love to push yellow light, don't we? We love to push into it. I think what's funny when we're going through life is that it's so important to understand what is God saying. If God is the one saying yellow light, green light, red light, how do we listen to him? How do we discern with him? How do we listen to not Simon Says, but Lord Says, God Almighty Says? And how do we not disqualify ourselves and be penalized? How do we stay in the game and how do we play the game well? We look at Acts chapter 16. We see Paul, who's playing the game of life, eternal life. Well, let's jump in and let me help you out. We must understand the rules of God's game. Now, I know some of you guys, you're like, oh, it's a game and you're putting... No, I'm just having fun with an analogy is all I'm doing. I'm not saying God's trying to get you to lose. And I'm not trying to say that God's trying to get you to win, because the truth is Jesus won the game. Amen. The game's already been played, but God is inviting you into the process. So how do we get through this life? How do we get through Acts 16? I'm just choosing a game to have fun with how we get through life. So rule number one, when you're playing the game, play hurt. Rule number one, play hurt. Our wounding identifies us as God's ministers. Our wounding defines us and identifies us as God's ministers. If you're looking to become whole and healed before you minister, what you're saying is I want to wait until eternity for me to get in the game. Now, I want to be very careful with this. Listen, I am not saying it's okay to wound people. I am not saying it's okay to injure people. I am not saying that mean people who are vicious and terrible should get away with it. That's not what I'm communicating. What I'm communicating is life is hard and it hurts. Life is difficult and it's painful. Growth hurts. And then here we have a situation where they just had a discussion at the Jerusalem Council on circumcision, and they say, Gentiles, don't get circumcised. And then we have Paul bringing Timothy in verses 1 through 4 and circumcising Timothy. What in the world's going on? Let's jump in together on verse 3. It says, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, when you go through Scripture, all 66 books, when you go through the prophets, when you go through the great leaders, when you go through Moses, when you go through all of these great, amazing leaders, Joshua, everybody, I want you to see a consistent theme. They're all wounded. More importantly, if you go back to our character series, they've not only been wounded, they've been marked by God. Let's move even further. If we go into agriculture or farming and we go to sheep or we go to livestock, a farmer will mark their livestock to show everybody else, that's mine. The ancient way was to take out a knife and cut the ear of the animal. I don't know if you know this, but having a knife put into your ear is painful. I don't know if you know this. You have to heal from the wound. But that wounding said to all the other shepherds, that's my sheep, that's mine. And one of the painful principles of being a God-fearer and a God-learner and a God-walker and a Jesus follower is God marks his people. You are marked with a wound, and you are also marked by the blood of Christ. You are also anointed, you are covered, you are clothed. There are many things that identify you as his. And so when I look at this scripture and I've read through commentaries and people's opinions on the fact, one of the things that I sat back and thought is, oh God, you needed Timothy to understand what he was walking into. And to be a little bit graphic and honest, God went to Timothy's favorite thing in the world and wounded it. And it hurt. And Timothy had to rest and wait and heal. Do you notice that when God comes to you and he's working on you, you have to rest and you have to heal? And God constantly goes through this process with you and I, is that he keeps coming in. And let me change the way that you may think wounding. Well, he's the potter and you are the clay. Every time he refashions you, you're wounded. It hurts. He's changing you. He's moving you. And here is God changing and moving Timothy. Why is he changing and moving Timothy? So Timothy can be used for the gospel and there will be no accusation against him. And he can testify. Rule number one, play hurt. Our wounding identifies us as God's ministers. Now again, I'm going to say this again. I want to be very clear. This does not give you permission to go out and wound people to help them become God's ministers. God is the one who does it. God is the surgeon. He's the one who directs it, and he's the one who handles it. Rule number two, and this is a fun one. Play by the rules. Play by the rules. One of the key things that we have to remember is God is in charge. Have you ever played with somebody when you were playing the game, they changed the rules? I remember years and years ago being in a group where I was playing Uno, and I was playing, and the rules changed in the middle of the Uno game, so I couldn't win. I will report to you that I handled it with maturity, that I totally bowed down and allowed my humility to come through and allowed the other person to change the rule. No, that's not what happened. I lost my mind. Turned into a big, huge argument. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. Happy Thanksgiving. Have you been with people who change the rules? Let me help you out. Our world keeps changing the rules, don't they? Our world keeps changing definitions, doesn't it? Our world will yell at you that you don't know the definition and they want you to learn the new definition today, and then they're going to change the definition tomorrow, and then they're going to yell at you that you don't know the new definition. God isn't changing the rules on you and I. God still has the same rules. And rule number one in the rules is God is in charge. God makes the rules, and he's established the rules. Paul has some ideas. Paul, as we start to move into the rest of the book of chapter 16 of Acts, Paul wants to go to Asia and share the gospel. Doesn't that seem like a good idea? I mean, God, are you against me sharing the gospel in Asia? Well, Scripture says, the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't get to go to Asia. So is God against Asia knowing about the gospel? No. Barnabas got to go to Asia, not Paul. So then Paul goes, well, then I'll go north. I want to go up to modern day Turkey. I want to go up to the Black Sea. I want to share the gospel all the way around, up into the north. And God says, no, you don't get to go to the north. But God doesn't tell him what to do. He just tells him no. What do you do when God tells you no? What do you do when God tells you slow? What do you do when God tells you go? See, red light, green light. What do you do when God is in charge? Let me help you out. Let him be in charge. When God says red light, stop, what should you do? Stop. When God says yellow light, what should you do? Go slow. You don't have to stop. Go slow. And when God gives you the green light, what should you do? Go. A lot of people as Christians are really funny. They're so upset that God isn't letting them minister. God isn't letting me do this. God isn't letting me, and they complain and they go. And then God shows up and goes, okay, go. And then that person goes, oh, I don't want to go. It's hilarious. I've been there. You've been there. We're human. It's funny. We gripe at where we're at, wanting something else. And then when we get something else, we gripe at that something else. We are gripers. We're murmurers. That's what we do. And God is saying, play by the rules. Verse 6, he says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. What do you do when you try to go right and God says no? What do you do when you try to go left and God says no? Well, you try to convince God to change his mind, right? No, you look for scripture that tells you can go there. You go find another person who will say to you, do what feels right. You will search for the answer you want. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul does the right move. Paul goes to the right? Nope. To the left? Nope. All right, then I'm going to go slow. I'm going to wait. What do you want me to do, God? Then it comes about that he has a vision. And the vision comes from a Macedonian man who says, Paul, come to us. And that's for him to go west towards Greece. And so in verse 11, it says, so setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to, and this is a really cool word, Samothrace.
and following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. In other words, they went to several cities, and God said, keep going, don't stop. Those of you guys who have played Monopoly, go directly to stop. I mean, excuse me, go directly to, what is it again? Do not pass, what is it? Go, keep going, whatever. You guys have played Monopoly, it's been years for me. In other words, God is saying, I want you to go all the way here. Don't stop on anything through the process. Do you know those are some really beautiful cities that they passed through? Do you know there were people in those cities who didn't know Jesus? Did you know there were plenty of people to share the gospel with in those island towns? But they had to be obedient. Why? Because God had told them where to go. It says, which is Philippi. So they end up in Philippi, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Interesting. It says, we remained in this city some days. In other words, they were in the city for some days, and they still didn't know what to do. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside of the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. In other words, we just kind of went on a hunch. Let's go see if there's some people who are praying to God. By the way, at this point in time, believers would leave the city and they would find a place of prayer in Riverside when there wasn't a temple, and they would go by the river and they would pray. And so they thought, let's go see if it's happening here. So they went to go find God seekers. And it says, as we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. In other words, there's not men that are hanging out here. There's a group of women. And they start speaking to this woman. It says, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, or Tyra, however you say that word. Tough word to say. A seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. Let me help you out. A seller of purple goods means she's rich. Let me help you out. Let me translate that for you. Purple and pure white are huge and expensive in this time period. Very hard to get a hold of, and only the super rich get it. And Lydia sells it. Says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. If you have a Bible, highlight that. The Lord opened her heart. How often do you and I try to open people's hearts? How often do you and I try to force things on people? How often do you and I claim that other people are inconsiderate when we're being inconsiderate? Right? And so Paul is sharing this with Silas and Timothy, and they're just sharing the gospel, and God opens up Lydia's heart. Let me help you out. Lydia becomes an absolute financer and financial support for Paul. She absolutely funds his missionary journeys and ministry. She becomes a champion for Paul. It says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said. And after she was baptized, she's at the river to pray. She gets baptized at the river. After she's baptized, and her household as well. Let me help you guys out. Her household includes her husband. Her household includes her children. Her household includes her servants, which are slaves. Her household includes her household. Her household is baptized. So she not only gets baptized, she says to everybody else, this is what you need to do. Apparently, she's very convincing. We find that out later. She says, after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Now, she urged us, and then the last part of the sentence is, she prevailed on us. She urged and prevailed. What does that mean? She was forceful. She was, no, you are staying with me. You know what she did? She said, Paul, Silas, Timothy, where are you staying tonight? And Paul was like, I don't know, Motel 6, you know, the Grade 8, I don't know, she's La Quinta, I don't know. She's like, no, you are not staying there. You are coming home with me. And they're like, no, we're good. and she prevailed upon them. She prevailed on Paul. Some of you guys who've studied and you know, dang, Paul was like, okay, let's do this. Rule number two, play by the rules. Rule number three, play in community. Play in community. Paul could have absolutely said, no, 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 we're going to go to a hotel. We're not going to do life together. We're not going to be with you. We're not going to depend on you. We're not going to impose on you. We don't want to make life difficult for you. We don't want you to make food for us. God will provide. And she's like, I'm here. I'm providing. Let me make food for you. Rule number three, play in community. Rule number one was play hurt. Rule number two is play by the rules. Rule number three is play in community. Now, it's fun. I brought a board game. This is King of Tokyo. I don't know if you've played this game. This game is hilarious. It's complicated. It has tons of rules that you've got to figure out. The first time you play it, you really don't know what's going on. Second time you play it, you still really don't know what's going on. Third time you play it, you think, ah, I know. And then the fourth time you realize we still haven't learned it all. So one of the fun things about a board game is on the side of the board game, it tells you something. On the side of this board game, it says that this game is designed for 2 to 6 players. It says that they want people who are 8 years or older to play it. And it also tells you that this a game, playing this, if you play it and you know how to play it, takes about 30 minutes to play the game. One of the things that I think is important is when you play in community, you have to understand that when God says, I want you to play in community, that means that he wants you to play with more than 3 or 4 adults. He wants you involved in community. But then let's go back through it. But it hurts to be in community at times. My needs aren't met. People don't listen to what I want. I've got to listen to somebody else. I have to interact with them. I have to hear them. I have to speak to them. I have to be known and I have to know. That takes a lot of effort, God. And God goes, yeah, that's an example of what I want you to do with me. I want you to do life with me. And the way that you learn to do life with me is you practice by doing life with others. And you do life with me. You do them both. And isn't community exhausting? Now, I think what's interesting is when the pandemic first started, the introverts in the world cheered. Yay! We don't have to be with people. It's amazing. Now, I'm not putting them down. COVID's bad. But they finally got to breathe. I don't have to be around people. I don't have to go to the office. I don't have to see that one guy come by and talk to me every morning and say hi. I don't have to deal with any of that. I don't have to interact with anybody. I don't even have to change my PJs. I can stay in them all day long. But what's interesting is about 2 months ago, the introverts started chirping. We need to be with people. And I thought, what? When the introverts are communicating, there's not community. Now, extroverts, people who love community, people who want to be, day one started screaming, we need community. But 9 months into the process, all of a sudden, the introverts said, we need community. So how do we do community safely, correctly, wisely, lovingly, attentive? I had some friends who came by yesterday. I haven't seen probably in 10, 15 years. And they were coming into town and they said, hey, can we come by and see you, Pastor? And I said, absolutely. And then I felt like guilty. I was like, whoa, I'm disrespecting my church community. I just said yes to something that possibly could create where I'm not okay being around. So I text back to them. I said, would you honor me by wearing a mask when you come over? I have responsibilities as a pastor in my community to be around people and interact with people and to help keep them safe. Would you be gracious enough to wear a mask when you come over and you come see me? And this person responded back, absolutely yes. I love you. I can't wait to see you. We have to have those conversations. Can I honor you? Will you honor me? What does that look like to go in this process in community? Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wait a minute, what happened? Paul and Silas go into a new city. They're walking around and this girl starts following them going, these are the men of God. These guys love God. They're about God. God has filled them with the Spirit. Trust these guys. And Paul listens to her for 3 days and then Paul loses his mind. For 3 days, Paul puts up with her, constantly chirping at him. But you're sitting there thinking, she's saying positive things. She's telling the truth. But it's aggravating him. Have you been there? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I have little things that frustrate me. Sorry, Mom, I'm going to throw you underneath the bus. When I go visit my mom has this clock that's in her front living room. My family's laughing already. Already. It is a mini grandfather clock. And it ticks, 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 ticks. And every 15 minutes, it lets you know it's been 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes, it's one chime. Second 15 minutes, it's two chimes. Third 15 minutes, it's three chimes. And when it has gone all the way around, it celebrates. It lets everybody know it has been an hour, and it does it all through the night. So I went to my mom one time, and she came to me, and she's like, so how are you sleeping? And I'm like, because I sit up listening to it. Have you guys been there? Have you been in a room with a clock that ticks? It's like tick, 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 tick. Now, I want it to keep time, but I want it to shut up, you know, at the same time. So my mom goes, so did you sleep well? And I was like, Mom, can we unplug the clock? And my mom's like, heck yeah. Walked right in, unplugged it. So now whenever I go and visit, I'm like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad. I hug them, and then I walk in the living room and unplug the clock. Like, I literally just go right in, boop, unplug it. Now, when I leave, I plug it back in, and I reset the time. I'm like, okay, I think the last time I forgot to reset it. Sorry, Mom. But what I want you guys to know is Paul's walking through, and this girl is totally and he turns and he goes, in the name of Jesus Christ, demon, come out of her. There. And then he walks. He walked in and he unplugged the clock. The problem was, is there were people in the town who made tons of money on this girl. And basically, Paul destroyed their way of making money. I know what you're thinking, but he actually helped her. There was a demon in her and he set her free. Right. By setting her free, created chaos. Are you seeing the themes all throughout Acts? Somebody's set free and somebody dies. Somebody is enabled and somebody is disabled. Somebody comes to truth and somebody walks towards lies. It's constantly happening in Acts. So Paul and Silas get in trouble. Doesn't really say that Timothy gets in trouble. Maybe they let him go because he was younger. But Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. And oh, by the way, they've put up in really nice, 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 nice bedrooms. They were able to wear a nice gown. No, they were beaten. They were whipped. And they're sitting in the jail at midnight singing hymns. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time in your misery and your pain you found yourself singing hymns of praise to God at midnight? You want to learn to get over your pain. You want to learn to get over yourself. You want to learn to get away from being so focused on you and your hurt, and you want to move back to the truth. Sing some worship songs at midnight. They not only sang worship songs at midnight, it says, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, let me help you guys out. If I'm in prison and it's midnight, I want to sleep. Paul and Silas, would you please shut up? Quit your singing to your God. We're all locked up. I don't want to hear your misery. But Paul and Silas are singing. Now, let me be real and honest. That's insensitive. That's inconsiderate to the other prisoners to be singing at midnight. It's been dark for 4 hours, and these guys are singing. I don't know if they sang well. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Pause. Christians, this is where we get in trouble. We think one scripture means it always works every time. Verse 27, if you've heard the story of Peter, when Peter is in the jail and Peter is locked up next to the prisoners and all of a sudden his bonds come undone and an angel says, get up, Peter, come with me. And Peter gets up and he goes and poor Rhoda is thrown underneath the bus later on at the place where everybody's praying. You just think that every time my bonds come off, I leave. But here we have a problem. In verse 27, we find out that's not the answer. And that frustrates us. God, which rule is it? When the bonds come off, do I run? When the bonds come off, do I stay? Ah, tension. I hate it too. But I want to teach you the truth. I want to stop giving you fast lies that help you sometimes. I want to help you discern and understand how to play the game, how to live the life. It says verse 27, when the jailer woke up and he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. When somebody else goes free, usually somebody dies. That's the story. This jailer knows there's an earthquake. All the doors are open. All the chains are off. There's no way in the world they're still here. And so rather than letting somebody else kill him and the process they would have put him through, the public shame, the beating, and everything else, he decides, I will take my own life. But when Paul, verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. What? God just gave you freedom, Paul. You guys were singing, asking God for deliverance. You were asking God for help. You were asking God to intervene. He intervened. What are you still doing there? Right? Come on, let's be honest. What would you have done? I would have run. I would have thought, this is God's way of saying, I heard you. But that's not what Paul and Silas do. Paul and Silas stay. They stay in the suck. Oh, I hate preaching that. I would love to preach, run from it. Run, fool, run. Like, I would love to say that. But that's not always the answer. When you continue to level up or level down, humble yourself, grow closer to God, you have to discern more on the information that's going on. My son right now is taking some crazy calculus class and he's doing things that I could never do. Well, everything that I learned about math was it kept getting harder. That's why I quit doing it. Okay? But that's how some Christians are. Living the Christian life gets harder and more difficult and it's just easier to quit. It's easier to change the rules of the game. It's easy to claim that someone cheated. And here we have in verse 27, a jailer who's going to kill himself. And Paul screams out, do not harm yourself. We are all here. Let's be real, man. I'm one of the other prisoners. I'm trying to run and I can't. Like, I'm like, it's not working. Why can't I leave? I'm going to die. I care about me. And Paul's like, we're all here. And I'm like, no, dude, Paul, shut up. Stop speaking for us. Can't sing. And then now you say we're all here. Like, ugh. The jailer comes in and the jailer goes, what in the world is going on? Who stays in the suck when they can run? The jailer takes them out. The jailer cleans their wounds. The jailer absolutely gives them showers, gives them clothes, and then he goes, tell me about this God you were singing about, because I was hearing you sing. Nobody sung in my jail. And just like Lydia, his whole family comes to the Lord, is baptized. And then as the story goes on, he goes, okay, I'm going to set you free. And then Paul goes, no. We're Roman citizens, and we weren't given due process. In other words, we were mistreated, and the people who mistreated us need to come talk to us. The leaders come and they apologize. They realize mistreating a Roman citizen is bad. And they apologize and they beg them to leave the city. And they do. Point number one, which was a rule, play hurt. Rule number two, play by the rules that God sets up. Careful on house rules. Point number three was rule three is play in community. Play in community. Rule number four, play slow. Play slow. Each circumstance requires seeking, listening, waiting, and humble discernment. Please write that in your notes. Please write that down. Each circumstance requires seeking, listening, waiting, and humble discernment. You see, when you're playing red light, green light, you got to listen to the person who's in charge. You've got to listen. You've got to wait. You've got to seek. And you've got to discern what words they said and what those words mean. Paul wants to go to Asia. Paul wants to go north. Paul wants to go share the gospel. He has all these things he wants to do. And aren't you the same way? Don't you have all these passions and desires and things that you want to do? You do. You love your ideas. Your ideas are great. What God is asking you to do is come find out his ideas. We think God wants us to come share our ideas with him, to somehow tell him what he doesn't know. No, he's got a plan. He wants you to do what he's asked you to do. So let's review. This has been frustrating. I know for 8 years I've listened to this question. So, Pastor, which one is it? Is it go? Is it slow? Or is it no? It depends who you are. It depends what plans God has for you. And that's hard. Some of you guys, God has absolutely placed a dream inside of you and he is growing it. And it's not time yet for you to do it. I talked to my kids about this crazy little question. It's a really simple question. When's the best time to eat bread? When's the best time to eat bread? Let me help you guys out. Here's a simple answer. When it comes out of the oven freshly cooked. Eating bread too early, if it's just flour, if it's not mixed with any other components, it's not good. If you've mixed it together, and it's proofed, and it's risen, and it has a little bit of yeast in it, and you eat it before it's cooked, it's not good. Also, bread that stays in the oven too long is not good. Stale bread, not good. Just right bread. Christian, I know what I'm teaching you is difficult and tough. I know that it's pushing you back into relationship with God. I know that it takes you back to listening to God as to what to do, listening to the Spirit of God, seeking the Spirit of God. The key is go slow. Here's where the game breaks down. One of the reasons why I don't like playing games is I become very competitive. Does anybody else become really competitive? Mike Parcio, raise your hand. Do you ever notice that if you're winning, you like the game? Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed when you're losing, the other people are cheating? Can't be you. There's a lot of this going right now in our world. If I'm winning, I feel great. If I'm losing, I feel like someone else is cheating. There's a lot of blaming. Yes, there's some blame to deal with. There's junk to handle. There's stuff to do. But one of the key things is the key to the Christian life is not finishing first. You see, when you play red light, green light with God, he just wants you to be in the game. He's not concerned about when you cross the line. He knows when you're going to cross the line. He knows your finish line. He knows the date that he's going to call you into eternity, and he's going to welcome you in. He's not looking for you to finish first. He's not looking for you to play fast. He wants you to play slow. Anybody know any verses where God says slow down? Does anybody know any verses where God says speed up? Think of that one for a moment. There are a few. Hurry, run to see that the tomb is empty. There's a few. But most of the scriptures teach what? Slow. Slow. Discern. Spend time praying. Oh, here's the tough one. Fasting. Scripture says, get away, go into your secret place, remove yourself from everything else, and spend time with me. Christian, follower of God, that's hard to do. Today, find some time for 60 minutes where you're not around a digital phone that tells you what to do. Try it. See how long you can go. Take off your smartwatch. Put away your tablet, whatever. See if you can go 60 minutes. And then start to realize, I got to have something. And there's so many things in our lives that program us to go, 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 go. My son told me about a survey that he took in college. And they asked college students, before you fall asleep, and I may mess the survey up, how many minutes was it before you fell asleep that you let go of your phone? Or did you fall asleep with your phone in your hand? Like, what is the process of what going on? Did anybody fall asleep without their phone and it was away from them for long periods of time? We can just sit and think of our own survey. So let's review, just for fun. Let's giggle for a second. Paul didn't know what he was doing. There were things that Paul wanted to do that he couldn't do. Have you been there? Yeah. Are you going to be there? Yeah. Have you been wounded? Yeah. Are you wounded? Yeah. Does that mean that you don't minister? Does that mean you give up? Does that mean you quit? Does that mean you run? No. It means you need to be dependent on God. Are you playing by the world's rules or are you playing by God's rules? Or are you playing by house rules? Are you playing in community or are you taking your ball and going home? You guys know that? You guys remember that? Remember on the playground? You guys were all playing. You were playing kickball. You were playing soccer. You were playing basketball. And the kid who owned the ball got their feelings hurt, took the ball, and went home. And we were all like, well, what are we going to do now? Red light, green light. So rule number four, play slow. Play slow. I'm going to repeat this. Each circumstance requires seeking. Just because the last answer was that answer doesn't mean it's this answer. Look at the disciples with Jesus. So Jesus, are you going to feed them all? Are you going to walk on water? Jesus, are you going to raise the dead? Like they're all trying to see if Jesus is going to repeat what he did. If he was going to do it the same way. Notice when Jesus heals, he's constantly changing it. There's really no major pattern of how Jesus heals. Listening, waiting, and humble discernment. So here's our application. Watch the light of the world. See what I did there with red light, green light? Watch the light of the world. Watch your Savior. Pay attention. Look for him. Scripture tells us if you look for him, you'll find him. If you wait for him, he will come. There's so many things that God is saying. If you give attention to me, you will find me. He's the God who wants to be found in hide and go seek. He's the little three-year-old going, you can find me over in the corner. He wants you to find him, but he wants you to look. Watch the light of the world. And winning is obedience and faithfulness. Winning in this game is obedience and faithfulness. It's not being the fastest. It's not being the smartest. It's not being the tallest. It's not the person with the most points. It's not the church that's little or the church that's big. It's being faithful and obedient to what God called you to do. I know there's pressure to cross the line first. But let's remember, God says to be the greatest, you need to be the servant of all. God said to be first, you need to be last. God said, he raises up the humble and he throws down the prideful. God's economy is different than mine. He's strange, isn't he? In one circumstance, he opens a jail and Peter goes free. In another circumstance, he opens the jail and only Paul and Silas go free. The other prisoners stayed. He's an interesting God. He's the creator of all. He's sovereign, and he can do whatever he wants with me and with you for his glory. Amen? Amen. May you guys have a wonderful Sunday. May you guys just sit back as Darren said. I'll let you guys know. He text messaged me. When have you let God be Jireh? When have you let God just love on you? It's a reminder we all need, even me. My prayer is that today you will let God just love on you. Because he's good at it, and he loves to do it. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for allowing the Spirit to speak to you. May your life be changed, and may it benefit his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you guys. Bye. You said